Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past week, we had three posts on sportsmedrez.org. That's res.org. The first post described a clinical trial where the authors found that closely supervised cervical and vestibular ocular therapy may help safely return concussed athletes to play. The second post discussed a study where the authors reported that workers and athletes exposed to greater elbow stress from vibration, high forces, or high repetition may be more likely to develop elbow osteoarthritis. Finally, the third post covered a meta-analysis where the authors noted that the FIFA 11 Plus program reduces injury rates in recreational and sub-elite soccer players. If we take a closer look at the first post, we find that the authors developed a double-blind, randomized controlled feasibility trial to assess treatment benefits, patient retention, protocol management, and participant safety between two treatment strategies. The researchers assessed 41 athletes who were 10 to 23 years of age that suffered an acute sports-related concussion within the prior 14 days and had at least one of the following symptoms. First was an abnormal vestibular or cervical exam finding. The second was that they reported at least a 3 on a 7-point Likert post-concussion scale for dizziness. And third, they scored 10 on the post-concussion scale across 9 items with a dizziness score of at least 1. Athletes were recruited at multiple centers from September 2014 to October 2015. All the athletes went to physical therapy twice a week for 30 to 60 minutes each for 8 visits or once they were cleared, beginning at 10 days post-concussion. Athletes were randomly allocated into one of two groups. Athletes in the experimental group received individually tailored, pragmatically delivered progressive interventions. Specifically, athletes completed vestibular rehabilitation such as habituation and adaptation, oculomotor control exercises, neuromotor control exercises such as proprioceptive and kinesthetic awareness, and balance exercises as necessary. The clinicians modified dosage and progression at each session based on symptom provocation and remediation. Athletes also completed an individually tailored home exercise program and exercise education that was complementary to the individualized treatment they received at each visit. In contrast, athletes in the control group received subtherapeutic and non to minimally progressive therapeutic techniques such as smooth pursuit tracking, convergence exercises, and supine to sit. The control group athletes performed a standardized home exercise program, which consisted of cervical isometric exercises, gentle range of motion exercises for the cervical spine, and vestibular ocular reflection cancellation exercises. The authors then followed the athletes to determine symptomatic recovery and date of medical clearance for return to play. 95% of the experimental group and 74% of the control group completed the treatment protocol. 14% of the treatment and 37% of the control group failed to attain post-concussion symptom recovery. The treatment group's symptoms recovered faster and they returned to play faster compared with the control group. Now, this is an important study as it's the first to address a number of rehabilitation exercises that may help accelerate healing and allow quicker medical clearance. The authors suggest that this study needs to be replicated in a larger cohort to further explore the effectiveness of this type of concussion intervention. Additionally, it should be noted that there were athletes that reported symptom provocation. Hence, clinicians may need to modify these exercises before implementation. Currently, medical professionals should be aware that dizziness should be specifically addressed during the initial concussion assessment protocol. Furthermore, clinicians should also consider performing some of the rehabilitation exercises prescribed in the study if their athletes are complaining of dizziness following an acute concussion. I think over the last few weeks, we've really seen some interesting data coming out about activity after a concussion. And it wasn't that long ago that the idea was that after a concussion, an athlete needed to rest academically and physically. Now what we're starting to see is the idea that some activity may be okay and beneficial for our athletes. Furthermore, there may be rehabilitation techniques, such as these oculovestibular treatments, that could be beneficial to helping them return to play sooner, especially if they have symptoms such as dizziness. I think we'll continue over the next few years see more and more evidence come out highlighting how we can best rehabilitate patients after a concussion. And I think this will be an exciting and interesting area that will have great impact on our patient care and our patient's quality of life after a concussion. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This past week, our most popular post was a study where the authors found that thoracic spine manipulation may modify scapular kinematics among adults with shoulder impingement syndrome, but it's unclear if it will improve patient-reported outcomes. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 4 online courses that are available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to these courses, the post, and the study I noted earlier on our podcast website. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.